Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. Today, we're going to be looking at language and online communities. We've got some search results here from a message board. And one thing that we noticed right away is this really interesting term that keeps popping up, women with two W's. What's going on here? Is this a typo? Is it an intentional misspelling, or is there something more to it?
Women. It definitely seems deliberate. I mean, across all these search results, it's just too consistent to be an accident. This online space clearly has its own unique way of communicating. Mm. And I think that's the first clue we have to understanding what might be going on beneath the surface.
It's like they've created their own dialect. But why? What could be the motivation behind this misspelling?
Well, it could be a way for this specific community to signal their identity. You know, to set themselves apart. Think of it like a secret handshake. You use a certain word or phrase, and it instantly lets others know you're part of the group.
So it's a way to create a sense of belonging.
Exactly. And it also has the added benefit of making their conversations harder to find to, you know, regular search engines. It adds a layer of privacy, even exclusivity. It's their space with their rules and their own language. But as we delve deeper into these search results, some concerning themes start to emerge alongside this, you know, unique lingo.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of negativity directed toward women. This women term appears in posts that are just riddled with stereotypes, often in the context of dating and relationships. For example, one user complains, dating was much easier when people didn't have the opportunity to warp their worldviews through these internet cultures of what dating should be like slash what's attractive. There's a lot of frustration stemming from a perceived shift in dating dynamics.
That comment is fascinating because it points to this sense of bewilderment. Even a feeling of being lost in the modern dating landscape. And instead of adapting, this user seems to be yearning for a simpler time, an idealized past that likely ignores the complexities and inequalities that existed then, especially for women. It's a selective nostalgia that we see a lot in online spaces that resist change.
So it's like they're blaming women for the perceived difficulties of dating, rather than looking inward or considering the broader societal shifts at play.
This sentiment isn't unusual in communities feeling a loss of control. They seek an explanation, someone to blame, and women becomes a convenient scapegoat for their frustration. This language is a symptom of a larger issue, a way of expressing anxieties about their place in a changing world.
Another user writes about feeling trapped in a Nixonite future, where, and I quote, all liberal males are sissified, and liberal women live to serve Republican kings.
Now, to unpack that, we need to understand what a Nixonite future represents to this user. Nixon, in their mind, might signify a time of traditional masculinity, strength, a lack of political correctness, which they perceive as having been lost. It's not necessarily about Nixon himself, but what he symbolizes to them, a yearning for a perceived golden age that may not have ever truly existed. At least not for everyone.
So it's about power dynamics, feeling like they're losing power and influence in a society that's becoming more progressive and inclusive.
Precisely. And women, in this context, become the embodiment of that shift, a target for their resentment and anxiety. It's less about actual women and more about what they represent to this user, a perceived threat to their worldview and their place in the world.
Okay, this is getting interesting and a little heavy, but what I find really perplexing is the frequent use of the phrase lover of fat women. It appears throughout these results, sometimes as an insult, sometimes almost playfully. What's going on there?
That phrase is loaded with societal baggage about both women and body image. It's used to label and categorize others within this community, often pejoratively. But the intent can be tricky to decipher. Is it an attempted humor, a way of reinforcing in-group dynamics? A genuine expression of preference, or perhaps a combination of all these factors.
So like women, it's another example of coded language, used to create boundaries and define who's in and who's out.
Exactly. And by examining how this phrase is used, we can glean further insights into the values and hierarchies within this community. What traits are deemed desirable? What behaviors are deemed unacceptable? This seemingly simple phrase can reveal a lot about their internal dynamics.
It's like we're peeling back layers of an onion here. This community has its own language, its own anxieties, and its own ways of coping with those anxieties. And one of the coping mechanisms we see repeatedly is blaming external forces for their perceived problems.
Well, absolutely. And this blame is often directed at institutions that they see as antagonistic to their worldview. For instance, there's quite a bit of distrust of mainstream media, which they often dismiss as fake news or liberal propaganda.
Right. One user complains about games journalists who, and I quote, failed out of their dream of writing articles for the New York Times about how women had better sex under socialism. What's that all about?
It seems to be a mocking dismissal of what they perceive as a feminist agenda, you know, being pushed by the media. The comment is obviously steeped in sarcasm, but beneath the humor lies a deeper concern about shifting cultural norms and who gets to control the narrative.
It's like they feel threatened by voices that challenge their beliefs, so they resort to ridicule and conspiracy theories to discredit those voices.
And this feeling of being threatened, of losing control, often leads them down a rabbit hole of alternative explanations, conspiracy theories, and fringe ideologies.
Like the user who suggests that a world run by AI would be preferable to one dominated by women. That's a pretty extreme statement. What does that tell us about their anxieties?
That comment is particularly revealing, I think. It suggests a deep-seated fear of female dominance and a belief that technology offers a way to escape the complexities and perceived dangers of human interaction, especially with women. It's almost like they see AI as a neutral, objective force that can bring order to a world they perceive as chaotic and threatening.
So it's not just about misogyny. It's about a broader sense of unease with the way society is evolving.
Exactly. And this unease often manifests itself in a fascination with alternative systems, whether it's AI, authoritarianism, or even a romanticized vision of the past. They're seeking solutions, or perhaps just an escape from a reality that feels increasingly uncertain and uncontrollable.
We also see several references to Korea, Japan, in China, one user even asks, the absolute state of South Korea. Is it an article written by gacha addicted Korean incels about how women don't have sex with them with corny eye images?
It's fascinating that they're looking to other cultures, particularly in Asia, for explanations or validation of their worldview. Perhaps they perceive these cultures as having different gender dynamics, ones that align more closely with their own beliefs. Or maybe they're simply seeking confirmation that their anxieties are shared by others, even across geographical boundaries.
It's like they're trying to find a place where their views are the norm rather than the exception.
And the internet allows them to connect with like-minded individuals from all over the world, creating a virtual echo chamber where their anxieties are amplified and their beliefs are reinforced.
It's a reminder that online communities, for all their potential for connection and positive change, can also become breeding grounds for negativity and extremism.
That's precisely why it's crucial to engage with these communities, not to condemn them, but to understand them by listening to their language, analyzing their concerns, and exploring their motivations. Yeah. We can gain valuable insights into the complex forces that are shaping online discourse, and by extension, society as a whole.
We've talked a lot about the negative aspects of this community's language and beliefs, but I'm curious, are there any positive elements, any signs of self-awareness or attempts at introspection?
That's a great question. While negativity definitely dominates these search results, there are a few glimpses of introspection. For instance, one user acknowledges the community's tendency towards cynicism. Writing. I feel like some of you are too cynical. Yes, there are many women who don't like incels or whatever, but there are also many women who do like incels. This suggests that at least some members are aware of the group's biases and are willing to question them.
It's a small spark of hope. A reminder that even within seemingly homogeneous communities, there can be diversity of thought and a willingness to challenge the status quo.
It also suggests that this community is not a monolithic entity. There are nuances, disagreements, and internal debates happening beneath the surface.
This has been a truly insightful journey. We've uncovered some disturbing trends, but also some glimmers of hope. Any final thoughts before we wrap things up?
Just this. It's easy to dismiss online communities like this one as fringe groups with extreme views. But it's important to remember that they are often reflections of larger societal anxieties. By studying these communities, by listening to their language, we can gain a better understanding of the fears, frustrations, and desires that are shaping our world.
It's a reminder that behind the screen names and the inflammatory rhetoric, there are real people grappling with real issues.
And if we want to address those issues, if we want to create a more inclusive and equitable society, we need to start by understanding the people who are most alienated and disaffected by it.
Well said. This deep dive has certainly given me a lot to think about, but I think we've covered a lot of ground for one session. What do you say we take a break and come back to share some final thoughts and key takeaways?
Sounds like a good plan. We'll be back shortly to wrap things up.
All right, so we're back. And you know, we've spent a lot of time in this deep dive, really analyzing the language of this online community. And while it's easy to get caught up in the negativity and all the provocative statements, I think it's important to step back for a moment and consider what we've learned about the anxieties that are driving this kind of rhetoric.
Yeah, I think that's a really crucial point. It's all too easy to just label these users as misogynistic or hateful and dismiss their concerns entirely. But I think what we've seen in these search results is that there's a lot more going on beneath the surface. These are individuals who are grappling with some very profound changes in society, changes that are challenging their understanding of gender roles, power dynamics, and even their own place in the world.
There's this sense of disillusionment, like they feel lost in a world that no longer makes sense to them.
Exactly. And that disillusionment often leads to a search for answers, for explanations, even for scapegoats. You know, they turn to these online communities where they find validation for their anxieties and reinforcement for their beliefs. The language they use, like the deliberate misspelling of women, becomes a way of signaling their shared identity and reinforcing their separation from the mainstream.
It's like they've created their own world online, a world with its own language, its own rules, and its own ways of coping with a reality that feels increasingly hostile and unpredictable.
I think that's a really apt analogy. The internet becomes both a refuge and a trap. It offers a space for connection and validation, but it also creates an echo chamber where anxieties and grievances are amplified and worldviews become increasingly rigid and resistant to change.
So what can we do with this understanding? How do we move forward from here?
I think the first step is to resist the urge to simply dismiss or condemn these communities outright. Instead, we need to engage with them, listen to their concerns, and try to understand the underlying anxieties that are driving their behavior.
I mean, that sounds pretty challenging, especially when you're faced with such inflammatory language and hostile attitudes.
Oh, it definitely is. But I think it's absolutely essential if we want to have any hope of bridging the divides that are increasingly fracturing our society.
I agree. Instead of just demonizing these individuals, we need to find ways to address the root causes of their anxieties and help them find more constructive ways of coping with the challenges of modern life.
And perhaps by understanding the motivations behind their language and their behavior, we can begin to have more productive conversations about the complex issues surrounding gender, power, and technology in the 21st century.
Yeah, it's a daunting task, but I think it's a necessary one. After all, these online communities aren't just isolated bubbles. They're a reflection of the anxieties and frustrations that many people are feeling in today's world.
Exactly. And by engaging with these communities, by trying to understand their perspective, we might learn something valuable about ourselves and the challenges we all face in navigating an increasingly complex and interconnected world.
Well, this deep dive has certainly been a journey into some dark corners of the internet, but it's also been a journey of discovery and insight. I hope our listeners have found it as thought-provoking as we have.
I think we've all learned something today about the power of language, the complexities of online communities, and the importance of empathy and understanding in a world that's often characterized by division and hostility.
Well said. Until next time, keep diving and keep questioning.